December 31st, 2022. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here on 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yellman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. We hope all of you are having a wonderful holiday season and have exciting plans for an amazing New Year's Eve celebration tonight. I am joined by our engineer extraordinaire, Calvin. Calvin, say hello to the world, to Waukesha.
How's it going, Waukesha?
All right. Love to hear it. So on today's show, we'll take a look back on what has been a remarkable year of setbacks and comebacks, of tragedies and triumphs, and of learning and growth through community as our Waukesha family came together as one Waukesha, united and strong. And since 22 was the inaugural year for Walk Radio and This Week in Waukesha, our review will take place through the lens of the station and this Waukesha-focused show that I have the honor and privilege of hosting. But before we jump into that, some more immediate news. And as many of you know, we are proud to broadcast Waukesha South varsity basketball games. And after a big victory against crosstown rivals Waukesha West at their field house on December, I believe that was the 20th, so it's about a while back, Coach Richter and the boys will be at it again as early as this Tuesday as they host Catholic Memorial at 7 p.m. And then they'll be on the road Thursday, January 5th at McGuanago. And then this Saturday, now our normally scheduled games, the coverage begins at 6:30, but this Saturday or the following Saturday, the 7th, a week from today, we have a special matinee as the Black Shirt Cagers will be hosting Fond du Lac at 3 o'clock p.m. So coverage will start at 2:30, and very grateful to Calvin, who has agreed to help us produce that from here at the studio. And Fond du Lac is, as I mentioned before, Coach Richter stacks his non-conference schedule with a lot of very formidable teams, teams that are they're either state-level competition or knocking on the door. And Fond du Lac certainly is one of those, a really great basketball and overall athletic tradition there. I believe it's one of the biggest public high schools in the state. You ever hear that before, Calvin?
Which high school was that, Don?
Fondy Public High School.
I had not heard that, yeah, but
so they've got some great athletic programs. So now switching over to the performing arts, as many of you recall, our guests a few weeks back were our friends from Civic Theater and Outskirts Theater, and Outskirts Theater will be putting on the musical version of Heathers. If you remember that 1980s cult film that starred Winona Ryder, they will be bringing it to the stage with music. And that begins January 6th through the 15th. That's Friday, January 6th, Saturday the 7th, Sunday the 8th, and then Friday the 13th, and Saturday the 14th, and Sunday the 15th. The Friday and Saturday shows start at 7:30, and then the Sunday, our matinee productions that start at 2 p.m. So get your tickets, and you can order them online at waukeshacivictheater.org. And I'm really hoping I can catch. Actually, I'm making a point of catching that. It'd be a nice date night with the wife on one of those occasions. And then I would be remiss if I did not mention that the annual Waukesha Jamboree is just days away. That opens on Friday, January 13th. And, that runs through, it's usually a 10-day festival. And, but just even that opening night, it starts with a Lowell Survivor Skill Camp, Ice Sculpting Demo, Wild Snow Sculpting Demo, Yukon Slide, Leader of the Pack Beer Garden, Glow Wild Walk, Wild, Wild Sky Fireworks. And then it continues throughout, let's see, yeah, from January 13th to the 22nd. So that is 12 days, 15 hours, and 48 minutes away. So be sure to go to Jan, J-A-N, Boree, B-O-R-E-E.org to check out the full calendar of events for Wisconsin's premier winter festival. Be sure to check that out. That's a big part of our Waukesha life. And where we believe in the wintertime, no matter how cold it gets, there is no bad weather, only bad clothes. So really looking forward to that taking place. So, and so as mentioned, as we look back on 2022, you know, a little background for me in the fall of 2021, while I was still serving as alderman, a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, as they like to say. I would learn that because of the redistricting, you know, every 10 years we do a census, and I was the one who drew the short straw and lost my district. You know, suddenly my house was now in a different district. I was allowed to continue serving through the end of my term, which had ended in April of this year. But obviously very heartbreaking, very, very disappointing at the time, very, very angry too. And after what I felt had been a really good start, and, you know, since serving in 2019 and really enjoying the work of serving my constituency and the city. And, you know, as we know, through that last quarter of 2021, as I was figuring out other things to do, I had the honor and privilege of marching alongside the mayor and another alder, Beth Moultzen, in the Christmas parade. And we were at the front of the parade, and in this alternative reality where it was a really wonderful and festive occasion, especially in the, you know, we didn't have a parade in 2020 because of COVID. And so what started out as a very special time, a memorable time, as we know now, had become an incredible tragedy, something that I think most communities had never witnessed before. And we don't need to relive that, but certainly our Waukesha world had changed tremendously. And you know, later on, as we were going through the Christmas season, I was introduced to a gentleman named Mike Crute of Devil Radio in Madison, who was interested in bringing his brand of progressive radio to Waukesha, and was looking for somebody to host a Waukesha-centric show, and had the honor of being connected to him and being offered the opportunity to again represent my city, perhaps in a larger capacity, a constituency of one, if you will, as the host of This Week in Waukesha. And you know, as one of my clients and mentors had told me, that, you know, God closes one door and opens another. And so was again very grateful for this opportunity. And so my inaugural show had started, and I believe it was the first ever real show on this station, as we were, you know, broadcasting affiliate shows from Madison. On my inaugural show, my guests were Mayor Sean Riley, who came in to promote the annual Winter Jamboree. And this show, I believe, was on January 15th. And I mentioned again, it's a Waukesha tradition aimed at promoting the great outdoors of our city during winter. And then my second guest on the inaugural show was Waukesha South basketball coach Bo Richter, whose team at that point was riding high with only one conference loss at that point in the season. And as we all know, a team that had lost 60 straight conference games. Here we go. Thanks, guys. Calvin, to throw that in there. A team that literally started from the bottom, losing 60 straight games before the 2021 season, had come together, putting together a winning season in 2021 and making the playoffs for the first time in many years. And then in 2022, had won their first Classic Eight championship. They would only lose one other game in the Classic Eight that season, and that came after clinching the Classic Eight title against Arrowhead, and then going all the way, you know, winning the regional finals, and then going to the sectional finals, one game away from going to state, and then unfortunately losing a heartbreaker to a Racine Case. But, you know, a very memorable season. As I mentioned here, yep, you know, Coach Richter would go on to lead the Blackshirts to their first Classic A title in 20 years. One of the great comeback stories of the year in Waukesha sports, as the Blackshirt Hoops team endured 60 straight conference losses before converting a winning season. Yes, I mentioned this. So, you know, and some other accolades had come along too, that, you know, two junior guards were named All-State, Tyron Cook to the first team and Daniel Robinson. Honorable mention, the other starters were named, honorable mention, all Classic Eight. And then assistant coach, Lee Montez was named, Classic Eight assistant coach of the year. So it really, and then thanks to yours truly, or at least I had a small part in it, this team would receive a citation from Mayor Sean Riley at the first city council meeting in April, my last as alderman. And in that last council meeting, too, one of my last acts as alderman, it was approving $1 million for the purchase of that that secure fencing device that we've all become familiar now, so that we can guarantee the safety and security of all parade participants moving forward. And in the wake of the events of November 21st, 2021. So, and when my show started in January, jumping back, campaign season was back early in 2022, as there were contests for aldermanic seats. The county legislature and the school board. And perhaps one of the most exciting campaigns in recent memory was the 11th district seat, in which Alicia Halbin-Slabin and Aaron Spencer surpassed incumbent Lee Miller in the February primary. And, sorry, are we going to a break now, Calvin?
Yes, 20 seconds.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I lost track of time there. I Calvin blocked out here with all the notes I have on the screen. But this week in Waukesha continues, and we'll talk more about what has been, again, a remarkable year for our city. Don't go away. This week in Waukesha, and my virtual guest, or metaphoric guest, is the year 2022 itself. And before we ended the last segment, we were talking about that election season had come early in 2022 with several races in the city council, the school board, and the county. And I wanted to mention that one of the more exciting campaigns or elections was the 11th district seat, in which two challengers, Alicia Halbin-Slabin and Aaron Spencer, surpassed incumbent Len Miller in the February primary. Halbin-Slabin would eventually win the general election in April in a close race that was fueled by Halbin-Slabin's marketing resources from the local Democratic Party and Spencer's on-the-ground support team from the Union Carpenters. So it was really fun to watch that battle. And I was also honored to have both of these candidates on my show. So other candidates for office on my show were Amanda Medina Roddy and Sarah Harrison, who were school board candidates. Roddy was an incumbent. Fellow alders Corey Payne and Beth Moulton, who had won their challenges for the council. And my predecessor, Terry Thieme, the fighting saint who came out of legislative retirement to win a county supervisor seat for our 10th county district. And I would be remiss if I did not mention my successor in the first district, Mike Krazine, who was a guest here during what I had coined my last community neighbors meeting here that I held in the studio. So Mike got to connect with some of the constituents and neighbors who had supported me, but it also, you know, had engaged, you know, really engaged with me throughout my time as alderman to work to make our city better. And so I just got a text from varsity baseball coach John Stillman, and he's given me some dates to be on my show in January. And I have to put this in because John Stillman and his counterpart at Waukesha North, Don Radomski, were my guests on separate shows in This Week in Waukesha. They both took place while we were doing our show at the Farmers Market. More on that later. But both have agreed to appear together on one of my shows. And before the pitchers show up for spring training, as they say, my plan is to have both of them here together where they will actually meet for the first time. And that should be a great show. And so, yeah, thanks for that text, John. And we do invite calls from anybody listening, 844-967-2789, if there are memories from 2022 that they would like to share. So, in that first quarter, we'd covered this on the show, is that, in response to the events of November 21st, the city had formed a parade memorial commission, and that, business leaders, city leaders, family members of some of the victims participated in, and as we all know, did a wonderful job raising funds and awareness for some wonderful memorial tributes that we have here in downtown. So, and then, moving on, as I was kind of getting my sea legs around the show, I also had a rare opportunity to fill in for Matt Flynn during St. Patrick's Day week from 6 to 8 in March. Matt Flynn direct now in the afternoon, but at that time it was 6 to 8, and I'd coined my pop-up show as instead of Matt Flynn direct, it was now Don Brown connect. So that was a lot of fun because I got to talk about what a lot of local businesses were doing for St. Patrick's Day and a lot of other Waukesha news, and feel there's really a demand for more local Waukesha news and information. And my hope at some point is that we do have it, that we were able to have a daily Waukesha show, as some of our other affiliates have around the state. So in the spring too, we had, in 2022, we had two visits from the new executive principal of La Casa de Esperanza schools, Pascual Rodriguez. He came to discuss his efforts to expand the school program and to include and to grow the middle school, as well as a new book he'd been working on that was eventually released in December called Rounding Third and Finally Home, An Educator's Journey. And it's an 80-page read that I highly recommend. It's a great, very autobiographical, and also some great coaching points for educators and leaders. So that it was an honor to have Pascual on the show. And very grateful, too, for a lot of support from the city of Waukesha. Many of my guests were leaders of the city. I'd mentioned Mary Riley, who was on the show three times. And we also had forestry supervisor Mike Talaska come in to help us usher in the spring and give us tips for keeping our trees healthy. Mary Berg, our recreation services manager, who talked about all the terrific programs by our city's parks and rec. We also had assistant fire chief Joe Hoffman on. And city administrator Kevin Lehner also made an appearance on our October show to talk about Waukesha Unlocked, in which Walk Radio is proud to participate in. So a lot taking place. How are we doing in time here, Calvin?
We're coming up on 1 minute.
Coming up on 1 minute. So one of my fond memories, too, from the spring was I had the honor of announcing the return of Eric Teagues, one of the victims in the parade, to the mound, and Tyler Pudliner, another victim from the parade, behind the plate on March 29th. Again, these boys were terribly injured, hospitalized, and they were back playing baseball in late March, and they become great symbols of our resilience as a community. And more on these two young men later. And their fellow marching band mates came to do the national anthem that game because it was while they were participating in the band that tragedy had taken place. So, but when we come back, more on this remarkable year. And again, looking forward to telling you more as This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues, and before we ended the last segment, we were talking about one of the great honors I had in 2022, and that was to announce and broadcast the return of Eric Teagues to the mound and Tyler Pudlinder behind the plate for Waukesha South's baseball team. And these are the two young men that were severely injured in the parade attacks from last November 2021. Both of them, Tyler and his mother, and then Eric and his dad, Don, and his mom, Jesse, were guests on my show. Tyler had come on in the spring with his mom, Katie, and Eric with his parents on November 26th. And really grateful to both of them. I've known them personally for a few years now. They play baseball with my son, and was just very humbled by their willingness to share their experiences from this awful tragedy and how they have grown and have become real symbols of our community's resilience. And, Tyler also, great character. And on an ensuing show after Tyler was on, we had athletic director and associate principal Dan Schreier and champion wrestler Frankie Falco kind of snuck into the show before Mr. Schreier to talk about a fundraising event, a wrestling match they were doing to raise money for Tyler and his family to cover some medical expenses, as there were still some issues with that journey. So, and then it was great that when Eric came on the show, they announced where he had several scholarship offers for academics, but also schools that he wanted to play baseball at. And they announced their decision. He's going to go to Beloit. He's going to be a Buccaneer. And so it was great to share wonderful news for these two young men and their families. And I also want to mention too, we're here in the NAMI building, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So we are honored to have Mary Madden, the executive director for NAMI Southeast Wisconsin. And we were talking about all the different events they were doing to promote awareness. But again, in the wake of the parade tragedy, when we were talking with the Teagues family, we were talking about a lot of the ordeals that Eric's brother Tyler had endured, because he was there and he was with his brother, and in many ways a hero himself. But there were so many people like Tyler, so many people that witnessed those events, those atrocities, that I highly encourage to take advantage of the resources in the community for those dealing with any trauma or mental health issues. Mental health is everybody's right, I believe, and especially in situations like that, should really take advantage of any of those resources that are out there. And I highly encourage you to contact the folks at NAMI here in our building. So, but we have a caller, and I appreciate him holding. Calvin, who is our caller?
It is Jared.
Hey, Jared Dable, Waukesha South football super dad. Is that right?
That is correct.
It is.
Hey, Jared, good morning.
And, good morning, Don.
Good. Your timing, your call is rather fortuitous, because obviously one of the big things for Wauk Radio was having the privilege to broadcast Waukesha South football games, and now we're also doing basketball. But, during the football season, as many of you know, we had to forfeit the last two games. Why do we have to forfeit them, Jared?
Mostly due to injuries, due to our roster size.
And the fact
we weren't able to overcome a number of injuries because South does have such a small roster.
Correct. And on top of that, we're a smaller school competing in a monster conference, one of the toughest conferences in the state, called the Classic Eight. And for years, many years, a lot of parents and families have been vocalizing, or at least in their heads, thinking, boy, why are we in this conference? Why is North in this conference? They have the same struggles we do. And Jared has really kind of taken a lead as a member of the community to say enough is enough. Let's do what we can to get us out of the class, get us in a conference where a more equitable playing field, where our boys can compete and we can minimize risk, for the health and safety of our children. What's the status on that, Jared?
Well, we were denied a few weeks ago, our request to transfer, as was North. No public comment has been made as to why we were denied.
from the WIAA.
Now we, Athletic Director Shire is going through the appeal process and has a one-on-one meeting with the board to discuss our appeal and to see if anything will come of it.
Sure. Now, that's on January 12th, I believe, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple notes here. Jared came out. He's been on the show a couple times. And the second time he was joined with James Santel, who follows us on Morning Cannolis. And that's a wonderful two-hour show that talks about the legal issues of the day. And so Jim came to give us a legal perspective of the WIA's and possibly the Classic Eights exposure if they continue to force these two teams to remain in the conference. And what's troubling to me, and I'd love for Jim to weigh in on this, maybe if he comes in for his show, is it's my understanding, Jared, correct me if I'm wrong, that only Athletic Director Dan Schreier can come to this appeal process. Nobody else from the community, no other coaches, no other subject matter experts, no families, no parents can give public comment. Is that true?
That is true. I'm not sure as to why they would want that, maybe to keep it as brief as possible, but this has to be something that's publicly discussed, especially in the Waukesha community and maybe even Waukesha County, because I know there are a lot of other schools in southeastern Wisconsin and probably across the state that have been in the same boat that we've been in, where they're not in a conference that fits them and can be moved. And according to the bylaws of the WIAA, they do have the power to make an immediate move if it suits a school such as South, to make it a fair, even playing field.
Right. And so we learned when you and Jim were on the show that the WIA is not a public agency. It's not a government agency. And so they're maybe not required to open meetings laws or freedom of information. But wouldn't it behoove an organization that governs our high school, our interscholastic athletics at the high school level to have open meetings, to allow for public comment, to get feedback from parents, from students, again, from coaches, teachers, administrators. Would that not make sense to you and to others in our community, in our state?
Well, it would. I mean, if you look at changes made to our schools, I mean, the school board will have open meetings about it because it affects our children. And I don't see why the WIAA also won't do an open forum for something that affects our children.
Yeah, absolutely. And does the possibility in the short time we have till January 12th, does the possibility exist where some parents like you and I are able to organize maybe a couple busloads of families to go up there to Stevens Point and even appear outside the building, invite some media, put more of a spotlight on the WIAA and those extravagant salaries that their leadership has?
I mean, there definitely is that possibility. For them to, I mean, will they let us in? Will they let us be heard? Probably not. But
if we got 50 or 100 people standing outside the building.
If you don't try, you never know.
Right.
Yes.
So, and if we can, yeah, if we have some people standing outside the building trying to get in and, you know, maybe the police have to be called. I don't want to put either of us in jail, but you know, it's a serious situation involving the health and safety of our children and equal rights, as Jim Santel was eager to point out, based on his legal expertise, that we need to draw some sort of attention, and our kids deserve a better process from the WIA. We deserve an answer or a response, some intelligence. Again, not to berate what they're earning, but the earnings of the people in this nonprofit organization demand that they're weighing in expertise, that they're weighing in experience, that they're earning their paychecks. And because, you know, short of that, it looks like they're playing politics. It looks like they're caving into the Classic Eight and these other teams that want to have two, you know, what are for them two patsies in the schedule, instead of looking out for the best interest for the kids in these two schools and really in all of our schools. Because if it's happening in the Classic Eight, you have to believe that this sort of athletic gerrymandering is taking place if it's happening in Waukesha or in the Classic Eight, it's happening throughout the state, this kind of athletic gerrymandering that the WIAA is ultimately responsible for.
And if you look at, because right now it's all public on the WIAA website, but the schools that were approved and the conference realignment, a lot of the smaller, less funded schools are the ones that are left out in the cold.
Absolutely. So, hey, Jared Dable, thanks so much for your call. And looking forward to talking more with you offline about this and seeing what we can do to really raise greater awareness in the state level for this issue and to look out for our young men and students in general. So, Jared, thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon. So that was obviously one of the big issues of 2022 as a background. Initially, the team's petition to forfeit the last two games was refused by our own school leadership. But after a huge social media campaign and a lot of pressure, the school administration had wisely changed its decision and allowed the forfeit to take place in support of our students. And what ended up taking place was a wonderful, we normally have a homecoming festival, but then that was followed by a co-ed touch football game, seniors against juniors, and a lot of school spirit and support from parents and students that game. So it was a great way to finish out for us. And then I had the privilege of attending, our last game was supposed to be against Waukesha North at North, and obviously very heartbreaking for both schools because that's such a great rivalry. But we did get to see Waukesha North play a playoff-bound team from another conference from Greenfield and won that game in a really good battle. And it showed that North, like South, can compete against teams in other conferences. We have winning records, winning non-conference records. And we're not talking about blowouts. We're talking about good games where we win by a touchdown, a field goal, a point, well-played games. And that's all we're really looking for is fair competition, not a better seating for playoffs. So, but just the health and safety of our boys and equal rights. So, but as you know, looking back on 2022, while the football program had its struggles, there were also some great accolades for our sports program. Billy Schwartz, the varsity soccer coach, who was my guest on July 2nd, his team had come within one game of making it to state competition, and just another great year for his kids. And his goalkeeper, Charlie Morose, and his midfielder, I believe Coco Montes, were named All-State and All-Classic 8. So that was terrific. We also had the eSports team for Waukesha South and their coach, Andrew Yep, on the show last spring. And they just celebrated their first state championship. And only in the program's second year, I believe, too. So it was really fun having them on. And we also had, we mentioned a lot of the support from the city, and I forgot to mention Bruce Gay, our director of libraries, who joined us and talked about all the amazing programs and resources that our Waukesha Library has. And we expect all of you to be outside and enjoying frolicking in the snow during Winter Jamboree. Don't forget to also check out our libraries in the cold season. If it is too cold for you or just not a good day to be outside, come take an adventure at our Waukesha Library. So, and in the minute before the break, too, want to mention that this week in Waukesha took a turn, I think, for the better. In June, we were on-site broadcasting from the Waukesha Farmers Market, which is exciting. And then we got moved from 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock to make way for our good friend Jim Santel of Morning Cannolis to take the 9 to 11 slot. So it really rounded out the program wonderfully. And for me, it was great to fill that 8 o'clock slot where I can catch you while you're having that coffee or that early morning breakfast. So more to talk about as we look back in 22 here on this week in Waukesha. Don't go away. Top of the morning, Jim Santel. Hey, right, we're back this week in Waukesha on our final segment, looking back in 2022, and just a few final comments on our appearance at the Waukesha Farmers Market. You know, some of the great highlights were we had a lot of candidates for office on the show with the primaries coming up in August and the November election. And one of them was our next lieutenant, Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who made two appearances on that show, and that was terrific. And we're so proud of her, a Waukesha South mom who, like myself, lost her district to redistricting, and many would argue that hers was definitely gerrymandered, but she came back with a vengeance and taking the executive branch. Very proud of Sarah and proud to call her one of our own. And then we also had appearances from Thomas Battersby, the director of the great Waukesha North Band, and that one, and continuing that wonderful tradition of excellence there. We also had Coach John Stillman, offensive coordinator for the varsity football team, and the new varsity baseball coach. As I mentioned, he texted me earlier, and he'll be being. Don Radomski was there, the Waukesha North baseball coach. And it was great to also be able to honor some small businesses, too, throughout the year. And Jeremy Watson of iCombat Waukesha was on the show, and he is my they were a proud sponsor of the Waukesha South football broadcast. We had TJ Stout of Replacement Window Center, Wisconsin, and we also got to talk about and promote a lot of the great local businesses and culture here in Waukesha. And one of the great one of the thrills for the year was being able to host the radio broadcast of the Waukesha Christmas Parade this year, and it was moved to December 4th, and it was an amazing moment to see our city come back in a shining way. And just so much redemption and resilience and just great feeling. And during that time, I was joined by James Santel, who's here with me now. And James had the honor of appearing on his show, and he's been on my show a couple times. And we've really had a lot of fun together. And it's great to have such expertise here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I'm reminded of what Kennedy had once said about, he had a, I think it was all Nobel Prize winners, and he said, "The last time we had all this intelligence in one room is when Thomas Jefferson came right in here to get a book or something like that.
Right, to eat alone, something like that. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Well, I am hardly at the level of any of those folks, but I am always delighted to be in your presence, Don, and it was great fun again to be here in downtown Waukesha, including visits by some of those political luminaries, including our soon-to-be future lieutenant governor here, our congressman, others right here on the streets of downtown Waukesha.
And what a treat. We got to talk to Mayor Riley and Chief Thompson during the parade, and that was wonderful, as well as some alders that came by to wish us well. And Jim was also my guest for lunch at Albanese's Roadhouse in September, and I want to mention that because Joe was a guest in September. Albanese's Roadhouse celebrated 40th anniversary this year, and it was bittersweet as Joe's father, you know, Dominic, the founder of the Roadhouse, had passed away in June. It was great to share a lot of memories with Joe. Joe grew up in the neighborhood where I live now in Banting Park, and he's considered the greatest catcher in Waukesha Blazer history. Him and, for the exception of maybe my daughter, Kiara, but on the softball side.
Right, exactly. We carve her out, right? Exactly.
That is right.
Right,
so,
but
Joe, what are some of your big moments of 2022?
Sure. Well, pull off of exactly what you just said, Don, that this great opportunity on your show, arguably on mine and others of civic media, to bring together the local and the statewide and the national interest. I think you do an expert job of that. I say that not just because you're my friend and I admire you tremendously, but also because it happens to be true. That is this notion that some people say all politics is local. It certainly is. You know that better than anyone else on the face of this planet. But beyond that, that notion that we live in our communities and we live in our neighborhoods, and everything that goes on, even nationally, even worldwide, we've got major news again breaking this morning about things going on across our planet. They affect us right here in Waukesha. They affect us in the other places where the civic media is out there.
I'm sure you learned that our Pope Emeritus
has just died, right? And we will be solemnly celebrating his time, not only as the Pope, but as a world leader once again. Impact upon everyone. one, including right here in the state of Wisconsin.
And how about Barbara Walters and Pele? Right, right. Those were two giants in their
trade. Absolutely. And yet you can walk down the street here in any city in Waukesha and mention those names, and everyone will know who you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And that is that connection, once again, that I think you do so well, others do very well, too, that brings together the notion that we are a part of a larger part of a world out there,
right,
and that it is important for us not only to be inspired by those people, but also inspire others down the road as we do on a regular basis.
No doubt, no doubt. So, yeah, and, you know, because I know you report on a higher level than that, the legal issues affecting us nationally.
It may or may not be higher all the time, but, you know, but it certainly tends to be a little bit more national in nature. And but again, even today, for example, we've got some news that relates to the January 6th report. It has to do with Robin Voss and the release of his transcript. Once again, showing that interconnection between those things that are very broad out there and then local, too.
And you're kind enough to lend us your expertise to a very local issue. And, you know, and Jared Dable is just the owner that you two joined us to talk about what the legal possibilities could be for Waukesha South and its efforts to remove their football program from the Classic Eight.
Right.
And again, we were really grateful for you to weigh in on that and give a legal perspective.
Sure. And again, it underscores this fundamental notion that to understand the world, we can read headlines. We all do that. I do that. I'm guilty of that on a regular basis, too. And yet it takes conversation. It takes communication. I would like to argue that it's about civics education, understand, which is very broadly understood with a capital C, not just government and not just politics and the things that lawyers do, but generally how our world works, and to have that opportunity, Don, here on your show, and have good guests who talk about that issue and get beyond just the superficial, recognizing that reasonable people can differ, and that's a good thing in America.
Sure.
And yet there are also some broad understandings about how things should work, and maybe some areas for common agreement.
Yeah.
And that's certainly one of them.
Sure. You know, one thing, too, what I love about my show is that, because I'm big on social history, and there's, you know, there are Pele's and Barbara Walters, future ones, you know, walking the streets of Waukesha. Some really great. My guest on my last show was a 27-year-old entrepreneur named Bo Blask, who just reopened Mia's, who just bought that, and really savvy entrepreneur with a lot of
visited also during the parade, correct?
And he visited during the parade. We got to meet him there. And so, and it was great. Yeah. And we also had the sponsors for the parade, too, like Planned Parenthood. It was a great opportunity to get some education on what they're really all about. The new, you know, Murphs has been replaced. I forget the name of that. I apologize, but it was great to learn about, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it's great to see this community continue to grow, to continue to heal, and to never forget those that we had lost in the parade, and to continue, you know, moving forward in a very positive way. Right. So I have less than a minute left. Any wishes you have out there for our guests for the year?
Sure. As we think about a tumultuous series of years, no one would disagree with that notion. Again, locally, statewide, nationally, worldwide, this has been a tough, tough time for the human race, for all of us, whether we're pick your issue, and you can find, again, some disagreements, some great challenge out there.
Sounds great.
My wish, my anticipation for the future is that we do exactly what we talked about, which is we try to find some of those middle grounds. We talk to each other in reasonable ways without incendiary violence, both capital V and small v, and
there
we find
go.
A way to talk together.
James Santel and all of you, thank you for allowing us into your living rooms, and have a very happy new year, and we look forward to seeing you next Saturday. Bye for now. See ya.